Welcome to Landmark Ministries. Thank you for joining us today as we prepare our hearts for yet another in-depth look into the Word of God. We hope this message gives you encouragement and brings you closer to the power of Jesus. We're so glad you're here today. God is calling your name. We've been studying through the Bible book by book, learning more and more about God's love and plan for us. Thanks again for being here. Enjoy today's message.
Good morning, everyone. We'll be in Daniel chapter 1 for if you would like to follow along with us. But while you're doing that, I'd like to ask you a question. How many of you have heard the term spiritual formation being used lately? I know when I've heard it, I didn't know what it was, and I finally had enough guts to come and ask. So I did that. But I also looked it up. It's a process of personal transformation guided by spiritual practices like prayer and meditation, scripture study, the serving of others, and living in community, which help us cultivate a deeper relationship with God. So in other words, spiritual formation is discipleship. Just another word for it. The sermon this morning, the title is Daniel in Two Worlds. Daniel's spiritual formation in a godly environment, and then the reformation in an ungodly empire. Whether we see this or not, we're all being molded and shaped by the environments and the influence that are around us. This concept of spiritual formation is illustrated in this biblical account of Daniel, a young man whose identity was significantly impacted by two different environments. First, the godly environment in Jerusalem, and the second, the unholy environment of Babylon. Now let's begin and read Daniel 1, chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. And I've asked Brian Hansen to come up and do that. So, Brian, you would? Thank you.
Good morning. We'll start in Daniel chapter 1. We're going to read the first seven verses. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the vessels of the house of God. And he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and placed the vessels in the treasury of his God. Then the king commanded Ashpenaz, the chief eunuch, to bring some of the people of Israel, both of the royal family and of the nobility, youths without blemish, of good appearance, and skillful in all wisdom, endowed with knowledge, understanding, learning, and competent to stand in the king's palace, and to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. The king assigned them to a daily portion of the food that the king ate, and of the wine that he drank. They were to be educated for 3 years, and at the end of that time they were to stand before the king. Among these were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah of the tribe of Judah. And the chief of the eunuchs gave them names. Daniel he called Belteshazzar, Hananiah he called Shadrach, Mishael he called Meshach, and Azariah he called Abednego. I'm going to pray for us quickly. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. As we come before you to listen from our brother Bill, Father God, I pray that you equip us to spread your kingdom, giving you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you. Here are some tactics that we will soon see, which were used by King Nebuchadnezzar to erase the formal identity of Daniel and his friends: indoctrination, renaming, obligation, and isolation. These are some of the same things that Gary talked about last week in his personal experience and time spent in the military. But let's look more closely at Babylon's tactics against God's people. Before we do that, I'd like to give you a little history on Daniel, okay? Daniel's spiritual formation in Jerusalem. In Daniel's early life, Jerusalem was characterized by his spiritual formation, rooted in the worship of one true God. He grew up in a God-honoring culture where names had meaning. The meaning of Daniel's name was, God is my judge. The name reflects his values that were instilled in him through his parents, his community, and by the word of God. He also would have had a strong emphasis on worship, prayer, and as a devout Jew, Daniel would have participated in regular worship services at the temple in Jerusalem, which included sacrifices, prayers, praise. He would have also been taught regularly to pray regularly, both publicly and privately, seeking God's guidance and intervention in his life. There is a list of 7 points that we're going to go through. Our first point here is a physical removing from their homeland. By forcefully removing Daniel and his peers from their homeland, King Nebuchadnezzar physically isolated them from their culture, their religion, and familiar roots. Jerusalem was the center of the Jewish worship, with the temple as a physical point of their connection to God. Reallocating them to Babylon, a foreign land with a vastly different culture, it aimed to sever their ties to their Jewish community and its practices, weakening their devotion to God. Number two, the separation from family and community. Isolating them from their family and community was a deliberate act, a deliberate tactic to disrupt their social structure that reinforced Jewish identity. Without the guidance of parents, priests, or elders, Daniel and the others were moved voluntarily to Babylonian influence. This isolation aimed to replace their Jewish identity with the loyalty to Babylon. Number three, the dietary changes. King Nebuchadnezzar used food as a tool to assimilate, isolating the captives from their Jewish dietary laws, which were central to their covenant with God. The king's food likely included items forbidden by the Torah, unclean meats and foods offered to idols, and consuming it would have violated their religious purity. King Nebuchadnezzar aimed to erode their spiritual discipline and loyalty to God, replacing it with dependence on the king's provision. Number four, education and language. King Nebuchadnezzar isolated the young men from Jewish teaching by immersing them into Babylonian education. Learning the Chaldean language and literature, which included Babylon myths, laws, and possibly religious practices, was intended to reorient their worldviews from the Torah and Jewish traditions. This intellectual isolation from their sacred texts aimed to reshape their thinking and beliefs to align with Babylonian theology. Number five, the prolonged isolation through training. The extended duration of their training served as a form of temporal isolation, allowing prolonged exposure to the Babylonian culture without reference from their Jewish influence. This immersion period was designated to gradually erode their commitment and their faith and replace it with Babylonian values. Integration into the Babylonian court. By grooming these captives for high positions in the Babylonian court, King Nebuchadnezzar isolated them from their former status as Jewish nobles and integrated them into the Babylonian elite. This social realignment aimed to shift their alliance from God and Judea and his empire, the king and his empire. The promise of status and privilege was meant to make them feel invested in Babylon. And number seven, the renaming, to erase Jewish identity. Names in Jewish culture often reflected their faith and connection to God. Like I've already stated, Daniel's name was God is my judge. By assigning them Babylonian names, they tried to strip them of their Jewish identity and aligning them with Babylonian gods. This renaming was a form of physical, psychological isolation, distancing them from their heritage and signaling their integration into the new culture identity. Now I'd like to go ahead and read verses 17 through 19 for you as we continue the story here in Daniel. As for these four youths, God gave them learning and skill in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. And at the end of the time when the king had commanded that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in and before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king spoke and said unto them, and among all of them, that none were found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore they stood before the king in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king required of them, and he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters that were in his kingdom. Their faithfulness and education and God-given success was a testament to the favor of God by allowing them to retain their identity while serving in a foreign court. Today's Christians often find themselves in a world that many ways mirrors the ungodly empire of Babylon. Although we're not in physical exile, today's culture and its values often in direct opposition to Christian teaching. This presents a constant pressure to conform and to be spiritually reformed. The concept that we're all being formed by something remains profoundly relevant in today's modern Babylon. This is why the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 12, verses 2, do not be conformed of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. I'd like to reflect a little bit this morning on my testimony, Christian community, and the contrast between Daniel's formation and our formation. I had the opportunity about 6 to 7 months ago to ask the question, why your presence matters here? In this community, I was able to hear the word of God. I was able to learn about God. But I was also able to see the word of God lived out. I learned by watching you. I had good men to look up to and to imitate. They were great examples to me. I got to see people pray with others, serve one another, comfort those that were hurting, help those in need. I learned how to live a life of worship by being in this community. You see, I didn't have an upbringing like Daniel. Well, actually, most of us born here in this country weren't raised like Daniel and have no concept of it. Being a devout Jew in a noble family, every aspect of Daniel's upbringing was rooted in spiritual education. In our study group, preparing for today's message, someone mentioned this, and I thought it was pretty good. I wanted to add it. In the story of Daniel, God takes Daniel out of a community in Jerusalem and places him into an evil empire of Babylon. But with us, he does just the opposite. God saves us out of that evil empire and into a community of believers, which is for our spiritual formation. When I look around this morning and I see young people and I see young Christians, younger Christians, and I see some people that maybe that have not trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I think about the opportunities that we have to be a part of their spiritual formation and how that could impact the future that they have, the future of their life. In closing, Daniel's early grounding in Jerusalem sustained him in Babylon. Our consistent engagement with Scripture, prayer, Christian community is vital for maintaining our identity in a world that resists God's ways. We need to be discerning about the influence we allow in our lives, choosing to nourish our spirit with what aligns with God's truth. Like Daniel, we may find ourselves in positions of influence within this modern Babylon. Our challenge is to remain faithful to God, demonstrating integrity and courage, wisdom, in all of our interactions with the surrounding culture by anchoring ourselves in the unchanging faith of God's word and relying on his strength. Daniel and his friends didn't just survive Babylon. They thrived, becoming living testimonies to God's power and faithfulness they stand in. How would you stand firm in your faith when the world demands compromise? Let Daniel's story inspire you to live with courage, conviction, and unwavering trust in God. Faith in a foreign land isn't easy, but it's worth it. And as Daniel's story shows us, it's not about surviving the culture. It's about transforming it with the power of unwavering faith. Ponder this with your people. And remember, we never need to take the next step alone. Spiritual growth is communal, family project.